Okay, my name is Matteo Bertini. I work for Develer, a software and hardware firm in Florence, and I'm here to talk to you about simple CRDT in Rust. So, the acronym is already been expanded. Conflict-free replicated data types are an abstract data type that can, it's think to be replicated in a network, and has the property that you are free to update the replica without coordination. And eventually, when you need some uniform view of your state, you can merge all these replicas together and converge to some unique state. And why are these CRDT interesting? They are interesting for these properties, and they are interesting also because some piece of software is using them. So if you like, you can find them implemented in Redis, you can find them implemented in React, and the Sigtex engine is the reason why I started to look about this stuff, because in the implementation of the shared test editing, these kind of types are used a lot. So, this acronym is in fact double. We have two kinds of these data types. We have the state-based one, where C stands for convergent, and in this kind of implementation and reasoning, we are moving the state, all the state, and merging the state, and the operation-based, where C stands for commutative. In that kind of implementation, we are moving only the operation. But they are formally equivalent, and the first one is a bit easier to think about. So we will try to understand something about them through some example. So let's dive in. Let's think about a little problem. We have a startup. We are starting to our new application, we are building our shared shopping list, and we'd like to have all the cool properties some kind of application must have now. So we'd like to work disconnected, to merge in some interesting way when the network is back. But we will soon end up with some kind of conflict, because we decided to literally take the list as data structure, and the order is something that is creating us some problem. So we can make a step back and say, okay, in fact, the set can be enough to our shopping list. And this is the first intuition about CRDT. Not every data type is a valid CRDT. You cannot implement all the interesting features you'd like to implement for all data types, but some of the data types are valid CRDT, and for them you have all that cool properties. So we have this set, and we start thinking, okay, I can add pasta to my set, my wife can add pesto to my set, I can find that set union is some kind of valid way to merge them, and what I have created is something called, it's a grow-only set, a set that can only grow because our operation in it, update operation is adding stuff, and adding may only grow, or if the item is already there, let the set unchange it. And the merge operation is union, and I'm not losing anything when I'm doing union, and so I'm quite happy with this solution. In Rust, I can implement this as a thin wrapper around an hash set. I will add my value, that is an alias for string this time, to my set. The update is local and requires no coordination. And whenever I need to merge with some other state, I will have a reference of the same type and return. We are not mutating here, we're returning a new copy, but that is, we are returning a new type, a new instance of the same type. Here is another intuition about CRDTs. Both the add, the update operation, and the merge operation are growing, inflating, are not shrinking our data set. And this is something that we must ensure when we are developing some this kind of data types. And the merge operation has other cool properties, because we can merge A with B or B with A, and the result is the same. If we have more than two items, we can merge them in whatever order we like, and the result is the same. And we can merge A with A again, and the result is A. And this has properties that must hold for CRDTs. And here kick in another cool aspect of these data types. Whenever you build something that works, that is verified, you can compose these small pieces together to build something more interesting. We had a set that can only grow. We can take two of these sets that are allowed to grow and compose them in what is called a two-phase set. We will have the set of the added stuff and the set of the removed stuff. Both of them are growing. Our merge function that is now appearing as a trait is simply forwarding the merge to our subfields. But now we have to do something more. Before the grow-only set, the action to the query we are doing on the set was simply having all the items back. This time, we have to do some kind of operation. We have the stuff we added to the list. We added pasta, we added pesto. If I bite pasta, I put it in the removed set, and then I take the set difference. I have only pesto left to buy. But it's not yet enough for our shopping list, because if I buy pasta, if I add pasta, I buy pasta, I cannot add pasta anymore, and this is a problem. So let's introduce another trick about CRDT, the tag trick. We had a simple string value. Our item was simply a string. This time, our item is a tuple of two items. The first one is some kind of unique tag. This time, simply a string, but usually we are going to make to add to the item, to the tag, some more metadata. Usually you will have some kind of counter, some kind of timestamp. We know we cannot use it to order things because they are originated from different devices, but we are only using this timestamp to make something unique, then some device ID or user ID or stuff like that, just to show something interesting to the user. The important thing is that it's unique. And then the value, what the user care about. Again, we can use composition. We are doing what is called an observed remove set, building upon our two-phase set before. That was a set with two grow-only sets. And modify a bit our API, or at least our API is almost the same. When we are going to add, we are taking the value, this time is again a string. We are generating some kind of new unique tag, and we are adding the tuple to the set. Whenever we are going to query, we are going to undecorate it. We are going to ask our subfield the items. It will do for us the difference. And we are going to show the user only the second part. Here is another intuition about CRDT. Most of the time, your state is more complex than what you want to show to your user. The state is some kind of implementation detail of your data type. Your user care only on about a part of it. And what changed, what we are introducing, is the strategy we are using to avoid conflicts. And this time, we use this kind of strategy. Whenever we are going to remove something, we're going to remove only something that we can locally observe. So for example, if I added pasta, it will be implicitly tagged as pasta Matteo. Whenever I am removing pasta, I will look up in my other set. I will look only for the user-facing part of the value. I will add to the removed set all the matching tuples with all the matching tags I find locally in my added set. If before we merge, before I am removing something, someone else added again pasta to our shared set, whenever we merge, I will see popping up again pasta. And if I added some intelligent metadata, I can show that Giovanni added pasta when in the extra time I was buying it, or 1 hour later, or whatever. And I can decide to call him or to do something reasonable. And this is up to the problem we are facing. We have used, this is what is called the add win strategy. We can apply some remove win strategy or some other strategy, but it's up to the problem. What you want is to avoid conflicts and to apply the same algorithm on all your instances of the code that runs around your data types. So some trait emerged from this journey. We have an implicit one. For sake of simplicity, we had only the function add and remove that were taking directly the value. We can have some kind of update trait working on some kind of enum and enforce what we said before, so that after an update, our state must grow. Our state, in fact, can be forced to implement partial order just to check that some order is what the theory asks us is verified. Then we have the merge trait that operates on the same type, is closed. So I am working on our observed remove set, merging only with the same type and returning the same type. And we can see, you can find the formal verification, but we can intuitively accept that union is a valid merge operation for sets, and the maximum is a valid merge operation for numbers. And then the query trait. Whenever we are going to ask something to our data structure, we must implement this trait so that we can explicitly declare what is the subpart of the state we'd like to show, or we can also generate something on the fly based on what's inside the state. And then a trait was hidden before because we had some kind of anonymous unique tag generator. Usually your tag will likely introspect your local state and generate some kind of next tag for some kind of order you like to have. And so here the reference to the self. And again, this is local, and you can evolve your state without coordination. So in the abstract, I talk about the CLI. I have not time to show you here, but it's on the repo. And just to thank some crates I use. Clap and Structop are fantastic, and not in this project, but Quickly is very neat to use. I use then some other command line tools. And here are some references. The first one, if you have time, it's very interesting. It's 1 hour and stuff long video from Mark Shapiro. It was one of the name behind these data types. It will introduce the theory behind them, eventually consistent, all the theory about eventual consistency. And here is a paper that will introduce you a lot of data types that are verified to be CRDT you can use. You can find sets, counters, registers, and then you can build upon them graphs. And if you are brave enough, you can reach the collaborative text editor state at the end. And if you like to dip on that aspect, inside the XSEED editor documentation, there is a series of blog posts now grouped in the documentation that will explore all the trade-off and all the problems you may find if you'd like to take from the toy level to something deliverable, because here we are moving all the state. When the state starts growing, you have to find some compromise. You'd like to move less, and you'd like perhaps to forget something from the very, very old past, and you have to find some compromises about this. Here is an implement. My code, you can find, is very educational. Is you can find it from the steps from simple append only set to the observer to remove set till a generic implementation. This is quite long if you want to require all of the partial equa stuff you are required to. And if you do something like that, or if you do what the author of RustCRDT did, you can fire again all your check and requirements, something like quick check, and have some kind of be sure that your code is respecting the rules. And there are a lot of implementation in other languages you can look at. So what I am suggesting, it's not black magic. It's quite, the paper are not so easy to read, but if you are accepting something by intuition and not going deep in semi-lattice, connected join stuff that you may perhaps know if you are a mathematician, you can build something interesting with CRDT. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Matteo. Maybe we have time for a couple of questions. Sorry. Here I am.
So maybe that's not the point of the talk, but I saw a lot of high-level structures used, like HashMap. And I immediately thought about performance concerns. So what are the solutions?
So if you'd like to deep in the performance problems, perhaps the rope series is what you'd like, because it's the trade-off is between something you can easily use and something that is usable in reality with big text files, and the rope is using for the text editor are a bit complex stuff. And so he found a lot of good implementation solutions for while maintaining these kind of properties. But it's something that you can find on your exact problem, maybe.
Okay, others? Okay, looks good then. Thank you, Matteo.